Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town, yeah.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Hey, welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. We are here every week starting at 8:30 p.m. on Sundays. We're a little bit late today, but thank you for sticking around. As usual, I'm joined here by my guy Money Mike on the right. How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. We got a whole lot of stuff to talk about.
We do.
I'm excited, man. I got the man in person. He can't get away in 5 minutes. This today.
As you see, we have a guest in studio. We got our guy Marco Nunez here with us in studio to say hello. As always, we got Stat Pat to my left. Yes, Stat, how you feeling?
Good, man.
You got some things you said you wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
today.
Man. You know, I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers.
All right. We'll get there. All right, guys. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for enjoying our brand new studio again. Everything just keeps getting better. We are here. This is All Star Weekend, of course, and that is super exciting if you're into that. Money Mike, what do you think about the All-Star game? Was it exciting? Or how about, let's start with All-Star Saturday night.
Okay, All-Star Saturday night was the worst thing that I ever saw in my life.
Unexciting.
Bro. Look, here's the thing. I literally watched the whole thing, and it's, you know, it's 5 hours. It's not... Like a movie, you know, it's 5 hours I watched, and the most entertaining people on there were actually the commentators. I'm laughing at Reggie and all them, and nothing I'm watching at all is entertaining. And I'm just
full disclosure, I didn't watch it all because I was completely uninterested.
You didn't miss anything. You know what I decided? I said, because I asked myself, why am I watching this? Right. And my answer to myself was, you're watching it because of tradition. That was the only reason why I was watching.
But isn't that also why it's not as exciting, because it doesn't keep up with the tradition?
Yes. I mean,
so it's also the disappointing part.
It is because, you know, you're just sitting there, and, you know, All-Stars are supposed to be about All-Stars. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm watching the 3-point contest, and I'm like, dude, I remember when it was Larry Bird going against him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Historic, just icon.
Like, you know.
It can't always be like that. We'll get back to that really quick. But as usual, of course, if you watch or listen to the Profanity Nation podcast, then you know we always start our show with a segment with Marco Nunez. Money Mike and Marco Nunez talk about some injuries here. But this time, we've got Marco in studio for the whole show, Money.
Right.
Marco.
More than 5 minutes.
Oh, no. Hey, I got you. Man, how the hell do you sprain the mid part of your foot? Like, you know what I mean? Like, help me understand this. Like,
Hang on. I'm going to interrupt there. I'm going to read off a list. Okay.
One by one.
I'm going to read off a list here. And what I'd like to know is who this list is describing and in what amount of time. Okay. And how long? Achilles tendonitis, calf strain, grade 2, hyperextended knee. Groin strain, MCL strain, grade 2, thumb strain, right ankle sprain, high, mid ankle.
This is mid foot.
Okay.
Like, what the hell?
Who do you think this is?
We already know.
Bro, I mean, that sounds like Mr. Glass.
Okay. In how much time?
This season.
That is all this season.
And you're lying.
That is all this season.
That's all this season?
That's all this season.
And
seven major
and Marco. Marco.
Just this season. Woo!
Marco, why, listen.
We're in trouble.
Here's the problem with that, though. Here's the problem with that. Literally, his average time of recovery is 4 weeks. That's his average.
He takes months off.
Right. Like, he comes in, and how many games do you play? Like, three? He plays
a hot 2 weeks.
He plays two games, and we're like, oh my God, that dude is amazing. Like, how does this dude attract injuries?
Thoughts.
How do you sprain that? Okay, help me out. You're here, right?
All right.
This is my mid foot. How do I sprain this?
Correct. So the midfoot here, like you mentioned, here's the forefoot, the behind foot, right, and the midfoot. Right. So when he rolled his ankle, all the bones in here are going to kind of be moving in those parts. So you have ligaments in here at the same time. So that's how he rolled it. Now, it's a little surprising to me because the way I think I saw it, it was a full inversion. So most of the times you're going to sprain the lateral aspect, which is the calcaneofibular ligament here, or what's referred to the ATF ligament. I think I initially heard that he might have had suspected that they had a high ankle sprain. That's what I heard. But that's what I read. But when I looked at the video, it didn't seem like it was a high ankle sprain. So I can kind of see the midfoot, but I'm surprised they didn't refer to the definitely had to do something to the calcaneofibular ligament and the ATF ligaments, the one outside type of thing. Because when I saw it, I think when I remember the outside bone pretty much touched.
Yeah, it rolled. It was like, it's okay. So let's just put it this way. I mean, let's put this out there, Zara. He's supposed to be out for that long based upon what we saw all on tape.
Yep.
Because
I
was just saying I'm old school's tape, but I'm just saying it's just his because his ankle almost felt like it touched the ground, like it almost touched the floor, like it was really rolled over. At this point in time, I know he loves Mamba, I know he does, but you got to get some high tops, brother. Like at this point now, dude. Like I'm gonna take the keys. The like you top. Know, there's a drunk driver. Like you got to take the keys away from some people. Stop hurting yourself, dude. When it can be prevented.
Hey, so let me ask you. Okay, cool.
High tops.
They had
question for Marco.
And I'm asking him in this way. So back in the day, they had these Reebok pumps. You know what I mean? Where they actually put the air in the Reeboks. And I remember I had them, and I had some friends. They were racing to figure out which one get tighter. If he had some Reebok pumps, would that have helped his ankle?
You know what? I got to go double check, but I thought I had recently read a research article where they did that on that where they researched whether having high tops or low tops have actually helped prevented ankle sprains. And if I'm not mistaken, but don't quote me on this, I got to get the research article. I think it did not make a difference on ankle sprains whether you had high tops or low tops type of thing. So it comes more to rehab and strengthening, like the glute muscles and stuff like that. Now, when it comes to some of these injuries, and this is kind of the list that you gave out to. As at the attorney sports medicine, we look at two things primarily. First, we look at whether they're all contact injuries or non-contact injuries. Contact injuries, let's say if he lands somebody's foot, no matter what you do, no matter how much rehab you do, it's going to roll. Now, if you have good stability in your ankle and your glute, it may decrease it from like a third degree to a first degree, and you might come back a little quicker. That might help, but you're still going to roll.
Still going to get an injury.
Some of these cases, if it's a non-contact, prime example, Super Bowl, Odell Beckham. Right, he was just on boom, and ligament kind of went. So one of the issues, and it was the same knee as before. So a lot of people are talking, okay, well, what happened there? Well, what was going on with the graft? Why did the ligament go out again? Type of thing.
Yeah.
So in these cases, these are non-contact issues. So it's one of those things where you're trying to find out, okay, what is going on within his body? What weakness does he have? What areas do they need to kind of focus on to try to kind of strengthen? So that's where you kind of will look first: contact versus non-contact. I think the list that you mentioned. They seem to be a lot of non-contact injuries in there. So it's like,
Does the athletic director get All-Star Week off, or is he working really hard?
Oh, right now they're working nonstop.
Yeah, they're working hard on everything, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so who's wrapping this dude's ankles? Like, you know, how is that tape working? Like, is there a different brand of tape that we can use?
Is it wrapped much like a boxer would wrap his wrist? Is that a specific thing? Do they wrap at all or no? Not anymore.
They do. So there's different ways you can tape the ankle type of thing, especially, and you know, some players don't like tape, some players don't like a tape. Again, there's also
He don't like the tape.
You know he don't like the tape. You already know he doesn't like the tape.
Here's the thing. When it comes to basketball players, and let's say football players, right? The way you tape a football player's ankle, especially like alignment, it's a little different than a basketball player because a basketball player wants to have a little bit of range of motion. Right. They want to be able to move. It's not kind of that stiff. Same thing in football. The way you tape an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, you're not going to tape a running back or a wide receiver because they need to be more run. You got to give them a little bit of a flexibility type of thing on that part. Right. So, yeah, it's a compromise kind of give and take. Yes, you want to tape it to give it support, but you don't want to lose any of that range of motion for the athlete. So it's like you got to figure things out.
It's just a balance.
Man,
it's
normal, right? This doesn't make no sense.
Okay. What do we make of just so many injuries? What do we make of that? I mean, again, we've said this. Really, it's been ridiculous because we've said this week after week after week after week. Call a duck, it just is what it is. I mean, we are right as fans to expect it. We are right as fans to want AD wrapped in bubble wrap. Every time he goes out on the court, you hear it, oh, I hope he's wrapped. I mean, technically, we're right about that.
I mean, you want to put him out there with the Rams helmet and some.
Yes,
I mean, yes.
At least some kickers pads, right?
He could.
At least some kickers pads. You know, he can still move around.
I mean, yeah, there's not much. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how does this guy find the ankles? You know what I mean? That he's landing on, like, you know, because it's
luck.
It's
bad luck,
dude. Like, I don't. I mean, he's really is doing like basketball moves. He just happens to find, you know, the knee that he landed on, or people just happen to land, you know, roll on him like that. What, like, look, what was that game that he got hurt and he went out and he came back and then they and he strained his knee?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, look, this. I was like, I literally was like, why are you coming back? Can you just stay out this game? You know, I'm happy that you want to come back,
right?
But the fact that you want to come back, you know, it is admirable, but just stay out.
What did you say? It was a mid foot sprain. How painful is that?
He's used to it now.
How painful is that?
his pain threshold, like, should be
beyond the roof.
Fine, yeah. Like, right? he already know what it feel like. Why?
Either that or his pain medication threshold is through the roof.
Man, look.
So I mean, it's very uncomfortable as far as when you sprain the ligament type of thing, especially depending on what ligament you're doing in the midfoot. And one of the areas about the midfoot is that if every time you step, you have an arch in your foot. So every time you step, your foot kind of goes in a little bit. So those ligaments and those tendons have to kind of support type of thing. So every time you're stepping, you want to maintain that support on that part. So yeah, I'm sure he has some kind of insole in there to give him some support.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him yet. You know, if he's in a boot, I'll be surprised if they put him in a boot.
I haven't seen any picture of him.
No, not yet. No.
Okay, but at this time, he has to understand for himself. I mean, you could dance around the issue of him being injury prone or not. But he has to now know he's injury prone. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, I know everyone hates to put that word or a label on a person, but let's call a duck a duck. At this point in time, you came with the label injury prone. Mm-hmm. We had to see it on our time for us to even say, because before we was like, that's just in the past. Like, he should be, if he gives a couple of years.
He's matured, he's stronger.
Yeah, he'd be good. Since he got here, he has always been hurt. So at this point in time, I'm going to use my uneducated, you know, opinion and say your man's injury prone. And this will continue. I don't have any faith that he's going to come back healthy and give me a full 82 games next year. It's more likely he's going to take a month off again for some reason.
Yeah, you're not going
to
get a full.
It's going to be something. So it doesn't have to be. So it could be the hand. It could be the arm. It could be the shoulder. It could be the neck. It could be the back. It could be anything. It's going to be something. They're going to put him on the shelf 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm at this point. I'm like, I can't rest the hopes of the whole franchise and the brand on someone that I can't depend on when I need them to play games. We're in a crunch right now. We need him on the court.
So I have a better question. We all saw Steph Curry having a whole lot of ankle injuries, like, what was it, 3 years?
Of his career.
Right. He started his career. And everybody was kind of talking about
that's it. That's why he didn't make the big money to start.
Yeah, talking right. about how Positive. He, you know, was injury prone and yep, all right. that other stuff.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this dude's been good. He's been playing, like, you know, what happened? I mean, do we know? I mean, I'm just correct. Asking, like, what happened? How did he stop having injuries? Should AD call Steph and ask him what he did?
So, I mean, I've never worked with Golden State Warriors. I've never worked with Steph Curry. I was never kind of in the room, so to speak, when they were rehabbing, stuff like that. But from my understanding, from what I've read and what I've seen, is that same kind of concept where it wasn't the ankle itself, but it was more of his stability issues type of thing. Okay. It's not something that the strength, but kind of regaining stability in the knee, in the ankle, and kind of strengthening the glutes and kind of working from like what's referred to as the kinetic chain from here all the way down. And I think that's one of the issues that maybe perhaps AD has, is that he has very poor stability in the area, whether it's coming from the hips, whether it's coming from the knee, whether it's coming from the ankle. And that's the thing about it, is that as a sports medicine staff, their job, or any team's job, is to try to identify the weaknesses, so to speak, those right. weak link areas in an athlete, and kind of focus and strengthen. And I think that was one of the issues, from what I remember or reading with Steph Curry, is that that was one of his big issues. And once they found it, and once they focused on those areas and they strengthened those areas, and I know he continues to strengthen those areas, then that's why he hasn't had a lot of ankle issues. Now, does it mean he's never going to have ankle issue? Yeah, he'll have ankle issues here, but at least they've kind of.
So I sound like a genius, right?
No, but wait. That's apples and oranges, though, right? Because you're dealing with body frame A.
No, it's not apple.
Body frame B.
No.
Does that apply? You have point guard body frame, and then you have center, you know, large body frame. I mean,
so yes, to some extent, it does affect it because now you have a player that's inside the paint, so there's more body there, there's more banging, there's more going on. So yes, to some extent, it does affect or associate with that area, but not completely. Okay. You know, once you evaluate an athlete, you do a screening, kind of identify these weaknesses. That's your job, is to kind of address it, strengthen it, and create some stability and strength in the areas. Try to now again, your goal is to reduce the risk of injury.
You can't remove it.
Yeah, you're never going to eliminate it. You cannot predict it, but just decrease the risk of injury.
So you guys do recall at the beginning of the season, Marco, I asked you about this dude getting married like right before the season, and you know, y'all do remember. I like, shouldn't there have been a time that
he should have been on his stability,
stability, and work out like, you know,
exactly
2 weeks before, like he had a full 3 months off, whatever, maybe 4 months because we got eliminated.
Yeah, I got
immediately early. Get married then, you know, take 2 weeks off, get married, and then work on your strength and conditioning. And remember, I said he shouldn't be trying to go and have honeymoons right before the season start. I think I have a whole lot of validity right now.
I doubt that 1 week or 2 weeks took away from and made that much of a difference, but I understand what you're saying. But I really don't think it made that much of a difference.
But here's the thing, the point. We saw Julius Randle did an amazing offseason where he was hurt, and then the Magic and Pelinka was talking to him. They told him, hey, they want him to get him in better shape. You saw the work that he put in. And he played amazingly, and he didn't even get hurt. Right. He averaged a double-double that whole season and did not get hurt because he put that work in. And if this dude's over there going to the hookah bar and hanging out and chilling and not putting the work in, I don't want him.
Dude, he's literally skipping leg day.
Yeah.
I mean, my man said, like, what he said about Marco, when you talk about the glutes and everything, like, I doubt he works glutes. I mean, he might work them out, but to the point where he needs to be stable. Like, there's a lot of leg injuries you were talking about, like, on that list. There's a lot of leg injuries. So if we're saying that there's this chain of things we need to work on to make sure that we get some, you know how people always say, like, you got to work the core and all this other stuff. Yep. Yeah. For them, but I guess,
pain, work your abs, work
you
your
know, work your legs or work those muscles. And I don't know what his routine is, so I'm just speculating. But at the same time, it's like, I see a lot of leg injuries, and I've see that, like Mike was saying, is he really putting in the work? I don't see that.
I don't see
the dude. I saw last year we gave him this, you know, the pass that, you know, it was a short off season, and it was a short off season, and so he couldn't get into real shape. Man was out of shape. We saw that. We saw it literally on the court.
Is he making the right assessment? That because the injuries are continuing,
I can tell you that
maybe that means he didn't put in the work, or could he be putting in the work and it could have been worse if he didn't, meaning.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So we look, like I said, we look at both contact and non-contact injury. Contact injury cannot prevent. Like, for example, with LeBron, was it last year when he had the high ankle sprain? The guy
rolled on his leg.
AD this year with the MCL sprain, the guy rolled his knee. You can't really
prevent this
to happen. What you're looking at is kind of like the non-contact and those chronic issues of patellar tendonitis, all those issues that are slowly developing. Those are the ones that, you know, when a player has a patellar tendonitis issue, the tendonitis is not the issue. That's a result of something else that's going on. So it's being able to identify what areas of weakness is, because the tendonitis is just the result of something else, and that's where you got to find out type of thing.
Okay.
That's where you got to put in the work to try to kind of prevent and reduce those issues, kind of like the chronic ones.
And maybe I'm too hard on him. You know, I guess I'm just talking pretty much out of frustration. Like I said, I don't know his pain and what he's dealing with. Right. I mean, obviously he's a professional athlete, and if anybody wants to go to the court and contribute, it's going to be him first and foremost. That being said, though, like, you know, they said on the show before, Andrea said before, the best ability is availability. And so we're talking about going deep runs into the playoffs. We need somebody that, because honestly, as a Laker fan, I've never had one of our superstars have chronic injuries. We might see him have, like, a lot of other people on the team have chronic injuries.
Yeah.
But Shaq or Kobe or Magic or Kareem or, like, you know, any of these foundational pieces, like, you know, Powell or, you know, Lamar, like, they were not hurt all the time. So we were able to rely and, you know, depend on them, and everybody else, they would be able to pick up the slack. When he's out of the lineup, and we have a Westbrook that's not at his best right now, it puts a lot of pressure on LeBron. But at the same time, it also does not help that we don't have another 25-point scorer that's consistent to doing it over, you know, night in and night out. And so that's where I'm at right now. I'm kind of like frustrated because I don't know how do we, if LeBron does go, we're going to talk about that.
Man, we can talk about that right now, man. Let's do LeBron. Can I get on LeBron, man, a little bit?
Okay,
go ahead. I know you've been
man, I got to get on LeBron for a couple things, man. First of all, you know, there was an amazing celebration.
I just want to say this real quick before Mike. Sorry, all Laker fans, because it's
a PSA.
No, okay, wait.
Not about you, though, because I'm going to tag team. Just
okay, okay. So wait a minute, because
it's about to get out.
We got Clubhouse listening, too, so I'm going to ask your opinion.
Get them in here soon.
So look, did y'all see, you know, on Wednesday, you know, there was a Rams celebration, and why is LeBron over there trying to piggyback on somebody else? Right, you know, celebration. Like I'm like, dude, like, what are you doing? First of all, look, I get it. You know, let's I look at it like this. I got two daughters, right? Let's say it's COVID and school is shut down and they don't have opportunity to walk the stage, right? But now this one done graduated, right? Now my other one that's 2 years later, she go to graduate. My first daughter can't go to my other daughter graduation to try to get acknowledgement.
I mean,
like, it's over. You know, do you know how my first daughter gets the walk the stage? She has to graduate from college.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So my whole thing with LeBron is, dog, you want a parade. You know, the parade didn't happen. We sad about it. You want a parade.
Win again.
Win again. We're going to give you a parade. Dude.
Win again.
We're going to give you a parade. Like, yeah. So,
and we'll show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I ridiculous for saying?
No. Hell no. Because I'm going to go with you on that because it's almost as if he's like, he felt, I'm going to put it out there, he felt like he was begging. And I don't like that because the Lakers are not that franchise that we have to beg somebody else to go ahead and be on somebody else's parade. We do the parades. These other guys ain't never had no parades. Like the Dodgers ain't probably had a parade since 88. The Rams, they never had no parade. The Lakers always having parades. So for the fact that we have to now, as a Laker, be like, well, I know we kind of, like you said, your analogy, I can't even put, I mean, that was the best analogy that I've heard about the whole situation. I'll be honest with you. That was like pinpoint accurate. And I just felt like you better than that. Win the championship.
Again.
You get your parade when you win your championship. It sucks that everything happened. Everything, like you said, everything's like, there's people, there's students that never have prom.
Right.
You think about this, a senior in high school in 2020. He didn't go to prom. He didn't walk. And first year of going to college is all messed up. That's a big monumental. And I'm not.
That person probably wants to go to a Lakers
you
parade.
You know what I'm saying?
But he's not going to be able to. I want to go to a Lakers parade. I want to go to a Lakers parade. You guys want to go to a Lakers parade?
What does it look like? Taking a shine away from a team that never
let's
done
Let's go to Clubhouse and see if anyone Clubhouse has any opinions
you,
on
what you guys,
on
what
that,
you guys think about what we're saying about LeBron asking for a parade.
Piggybacking on the Rams there.
Let me go ahead and blink your mic.
And hey, don't leave out the Dodgers. Dodgers asked for it too, though.
Dodgers asked for it too.
I'm not going to put it on.
Go ahead, Chris. They asked for it too. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, man. You know, a part of me, I feel the pain from LeBron. You know, we never got that parade. You know, we deserved it. We didn't get it. A lot of people, you know, shame our bubble title and everything like that. But I also agree with you, Mike. Yeah, you can't go and try to like bombard somebody else's parade, man. That's just not cool. I mean, he kind of messed up for that. And then he invited like he invited the Dodgers for to it as well, right?
Yeah,
but you know what though? He started it though. Like, you know, he was the first one, and then he was trying to bring the Dodgers.
Sounds kind of preschool.
I mean, it just it's both of them though. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the Dodgers are a whole entity. They're a whole like their own thing. Like, you know, I don't think they're influenced.
Yeah, baseball's a whole other sport.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They're a whole other sport. So, and I mean, the Lakers are a whole other sport. So that's why I just felt like, anyway.
Were there any no Dodgers won?
No.
Okay. No.
No, but I mean, it was like a tweet that the Dodgers had asked for. Like,
yeah,
kind
of, but
like,
I mean,
the
no,
mayor
this
should have brought it
but
up.
But here's the thing: this literally was a tweet within an hour of winning the Super Bowl.
Like, yeah,
LeBron.
He was still at SoFi.
Yeah, right.
He was still at SoFi tweeting about how the Lakers are going to jump on that parade.
Yeah, I'm like, how ridiculous is this, dude?
I don't know. You know what, guys? Genie Bus. said we'd get our parade. Of course, it hasn't happened. That's okay. We understand she would have. So, you know, and I'm kind of on it. It's not that bad, but I would like him to be looking forward instead of looking back.
Speaking of that, he is looking forward. You know,
talk about it.
Here we go.
You know, this dude
perfect over segue, there, right?
Yeah, this dude over there talking about, yeah, when his son made the league, he going over to play with whatever team that drafts him. He ain't talking about nothing about winning a championship. He ain't talking about winning next year. He literally is looking forward to the point where his son is able to play the league.
All right. He's looking towards post-Laker career. Should we start looking towards post-LeBron? I think it's time, guys.
Absolutely.
I'm
done.
Well, all right.
Well, for sure.
Because that's the way. And I don't mean we kick him out. But it's time to start getting in some players that are going to build a team, build some sort of personality, some character, something.
Yeah, because here's the thing. First of all, let me just say this. I want to go on record. This is the reason why he does not deserve to have his number retired, because he never was a really Laker. He never was.
How do you feel, Pat?
You see that.
About that. It's kind of hard to erase him from the Laker book, though.
No, it's cool.
So he was on our team.
And
everybody, I mean, if we're just going based upon, you know, the precedents that have been set, if you win a championship and you're MVP of the finals, your name
you don't deserve it.
Those are two different points. You're saying one is deserving and one is going to happen. See, deserving, I understand where you're coming from, because you don't feel that he's a Laker through and through. But at the same time, you can't just sit there and just deny the fact that he did what he did, and he walks into crypto, whatever it's called now, and he looks at the banner that he literally helped put on the wall, but his jersey isn't on the wall. It doesn't make sense, bro. There's really very little reason to even discuss it
because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
No.
Just as Kobe got two numbers up there, and that was like, what? We doing that? Then, yes, we going to go ahead and put his number up on the wall.
Mark, I know you can't speak a whole lot of stuff, but do you think, your opinion, if you can give it, do you think that he deserved to have his number retired?
I mean, when you compare it to Kobe, you can't really compare it to Kobe. Kobe,
right.
He deserves that 8-24.
Of course.
You know, I can't find anybody that's going to disagree with you.
Right.
That part. LJ, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I agree with you as far as, does he deserve it, or is he going to get it? Yeah, I think he's going to get it because he put up the banner. Does he deserve it?
No.
That I don't know.
I mean, that's the crux of it, though. That's where we're at here, you know. About being that, does he deserve it? I don't know if he deserves it. I mean, I don't even know if he doesn't deserve it.
Okay, cool.
Did he actually win the championship? Yes. Did he actually win MVP? Yes. So when we're saying, does he deserve it or not, I mean, he actually earned it.
Correct. Now, there's like another player that pops into my head that a lot of people don't think about it, and he's out there, and he's won five championships with the Lakers. I don't know. Can you guys think of it? It was a point guard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Derek Fisher.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, his jersey is up there retired, but yet he was with them five championships. Yep.
But the criteria also, in addition to the championships and all that, is Hall of Fame.
Okay, cool.
That is the criteria. Okay, that's why we're not the Celtics.
Okay,
that's why we don't have double numbers being retired and everything.
Okay, so let's ask you that. Okay, cool. When you go into the Hall of Fame, you have to go in the Hall of Fame as a team.
He's not going in as a Laker.
So therefore, we do not have any obligation to retire his number.
Okay.
We
definitely know no obligation.
We know he's not going in as a Laker.
Miami Heat.
He should go in as a Heat.
He's probably going to go in as a Cleveland Cavalier. Let me post this question. I'd really like to know, and we can look back. And Marco, you could actually answer this.
And blink your mic as well.
This one heard. Yes, and Clubhouse, listen really good. Okay. Flash all the way back to 2004. Had we beat Detroit, would Karl Malone and Gary Payton deserve to have their numbers retired if that was their only title with us? Well, they were greats. They're icons. They're Hall of Famers.
Okay.
They won a title for the Lakers with the Lakers. Do they deserve to be on the wall?
I'm not even going to say the subtle difference. I'm just telling you, what it is. They're not the first option. They're not the second option. They're the third and the fourth option.
On that team,
2004 team. When we're talking about the 2020 team that won the championship, who was the first option? We're going to say AD? Okay, no, we're just being contrarian. LeBron, go ahead and say that. Fine, I give you that. But who actually was also putting in that work just as much? Look, as
the older you know what? That's actually a better question, Mike.
I appreciate him being a participant
AD?
On that
team. What about AD? Is AD going to get up there?
No, okay, he got hurt too.
Is AD getting up there?
Like, he got hurt.
That's a great question too. Let's go to Clubhouse. Is anyone in Clubhouse? Go ahead and blink your mic. Is AD? We know LeBron's getting up there. Is AD going to get his number retired? As
it better
a
not be before Paul Gasol.
Go ahead, Ivan.
It better not be before Paul Gasol. That's all I know.
As of right now, I'm gonna go with a no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I mean, thinking about him on the wall. Is Paul Gasol the next one up? If he's not getting it, we're doing something wrong. That's being honest.
Well, I think Jimmy's dad said like next year he's going to be.
Yeah, Paul Gasol got to be on the wall, man. If you're not on the wall, it's like, well, then what are we doing here? Like, you know, and that's just being honest. Look, like I said, I mean, I can argue for and against LeBron. I'm arguing against at the moment right now for AD because AD, look, he had a great run. And we all wish for bubble AD, right? That's all we talk about. We bubble AD.
Bubble AD.
Bubble AD. We smashing everybody. Like, we got
a glimpse.
Smashing.
We got like a little
glimpse. Of what that looked like. And we still trying to get that back. And hopefully, I'm still not losing hope. I think he can get back there. Yeah. I'm hoping.
Yeah. We've been hoping this whole season for a lot of Lakers.
What do you think, Marco? So let's say AD is back. He got 4 weeks. He's back at full strength. 4 weeks takes us right into the playoffs. Do you think he's going to get hurt again?
When it comes to sports medicine, the predictor of injury or predictor of someone getting hurt is
past
injury. So the likelihood of
getting
is higher. Now, here's the other thing about it also. Is that he has so many issues this year that it's almost like a catch-up game type of thing. So when you sprain your ankle, you have any type of ankle sprain. It takes more than 4 weeks, or even more than 6 weeks, for you to feel like 100%. In reality, it can take up to 6 months to about a year till you get to the point like, hey, you know what, my ankle feels really, really good, and I like, you know, no issues. So, is he going to have some soreness, a little bit swelling, some achiness going to the season, you know, into the playoffs? Yeah, he's going to have it. There's no doubt about it. You're gonna have it. You can't say, you know, I feel great. Now, would that create a domino effect? Okay, now that he's going to compensate, now he's going to have something with the knee, the tendonitis or something. So the likelihood of him having something is pretty high.
Okay, so let me ask you this though. You know how if I take my car to a dealership and you know I'm getting my oil change, right?
Yeah, good, dude.
They do a 32 point inspection on the rest of the car, right? Nice. So I know, you know, they get check out the brakes, they check out the coolant, you know, make sure they check out other parts of the car.
Yep.
Do they do that? Or when thank a player you, gets injured, you know, when they know that previous stuff, do they check out other stuff that's not really bothering them per se? See how good that is.
So usually at the beginning of the year, that's when they do like a full physical with an athlete, and it's like a 3-4 day process. So it's not like, hey, just come in here, move your neck this way, cough to the left, type of thing, like the old high school traditional way. No, they do like the $1 million workup on them. They do MRI, CT scans. So one of the jobs for the head athletic trainer or whoever's the director of sports medicine is to sit there, and I remember that's what I sat there and I looked at all the past histories of the athlete's injuries, and then I had a list of each player. So when the player went to physical, hey, this is his history. Let's MRI his knee, MRI his ankle, X-ray, do everything, because this is, like I said, the number one predictor.
That's got to be kind of nice, right? To just have do this, and everything's kind of,
how much
that
is that
kind of nice, right?
that it is. Like, I will tell you, I mean, as far as professional athletes, the workup that professional athletes get done, I hate to say this, but you're not gonna walk into a doctor's office and get the same treatment.
No,
you're
not gonna go to Kaiser.
Yeah. I didn't want to call anybody out.
Hey, wait a minute. You get great care at Kaiser. If you'd like to sponsor a show, you're great. But it's just not. You're not gonna get the care. There's millions of dollars on the line to these players. They're looking at. They have. It's an investment.
If I sprain my knee and go to Kaiser,
yes.
I'm out of that office in about 20 minutes. And how long when they go in, get their checkup, and have an issue in the knee, how on average
now,
the time?
So the different part about it, and I hate to say this, is that they'll get out in about 20 minutes because they'll get in and out because it'll be a treatment. But within those 20 minutes, they're going to get a lot of stuff done.
Oh. They get the
So it's not the nurse checking you out.
It's
okay.
One of those where the athlete will be sitting there. You have like 4 or 5 doctors checking them out all at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Doing extras, do everything. So, yeah, they get, I mean, it is. It's what it is type of thing. You know, it's not like when you buy a car where you just kind of kick the tires. All right, I'll take it. No, it's like you open up the hood, take all the parts, I look at everything, test drive it for a couple, you know, stuff like that.
So now you said they do that in the beginning of the season. But to a guy like AD, we need to do that like right now. Like we know it was perfect. It was perfect at the beginning of the season. But like right now, we need to do a whole nother, you know, right, so, 32 point.
I actually think we have a bigger set of worries than that right now. I think we need to worry about whether or not AD is even going to need to come back.
Well, he's under contract.
If we're even in playoff contention for him to come back, or they just shut him down for the year because we're already out of contention.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, we're at that point. Right. And with no AD and a Russell Westbrook with his lowest 2K rating since his rookie year at 77.
He didn't even make the All-Star team.
Really?
How do you make $44 million? I mean, here's the thing. Here's the question. How do you make $44 million a year, be a former MVP, and not even make the All-Star?
Because you're former. That was the biggest part you put there. Former.
Okay.
Former, not the same player anymore. And that's okay. He's just not, but he's not. Okay. But we need to start worrying about whether or not AD even will need to come back. Like 4 weeks from now, it may be, you know what?
We had 11
seed. Shut him down.
Yeah.
11 seed.
Yeah, exactly. Shut it down.
Not even, can't even.
Do you make that recommendation? What I mean by that is, do you initiate the conversation?
Just one more time for you. My apologies. There you go, my friend.
Okay, do you initiate that conversation?
So a decision like that is not just made by the head of the trainer. Usually it's several people involved. One, obviously the athlete gets involved in it. The GM gets involved in it. The agent also gets involved in it as far as on that part.
If we're talking about,
is there one way? That's another good segue.
We can talk about that right now. That's a good segue. But
I'm curious. go ahead.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll be honest with you. It also depends if it's a contract year. If it's a contract year,
heavy pressure.
Yeah, the agent will tend to push one way, then the other. The athlete will tend to push, and that's just the reality of
makes sense.
Type of thing.
It's a business.
Correct. It's a business on the part. So yeah. So it's not just one person making the decision. The coach, the player, the GM, the owner, the agent, the physician, the team doctors also kind of gets involved in that type of thing. And just like you guys mentioned, the reality of it is where are you in the playoff hunt?
Yes.
If you're already officially eliminated, or it's like, hey, you know, we got to win 9 of the next 10 games in order for you to get in there. That's like, hey, okay, what do we do?
You just lost 9 of the last 10. You're like, okay, this isn't looking good. Sorry, I'm just saying.
You know, it's what it is.
It is. Right?
At what point do you say you throw in the towel, get him ready, get him straight? Because in this case, like I said, all those issues and injuries is that, he came back from the knee, but most likely right now that knee is not 100%.
Right.
So now he's got to come back from the ankle. He's still going to be treating the knee. He probably still has a little patellar tendonitis. He's always had patellar tendonitis issues on top of things. So it's more than just one thing that he's going to be dealing with going into it. Now, if they make a run for it, and at that point, you got to step up. You got to play in there and, you know, kind of keep those band-aids up there and hold them over until see how far they can go.
You know what? I think the common thing of this conversation today is everybody has kind of realized we're not going to make the playoffs. Right, so
we're not going to make any waves as it currently stands.
We might as well just shut AD down and give him.
We'll know by the time he's ready to come back. We'll know whether or not it's worth bringing him back.
Let's look at it. So, the new season starts in October, right? So we shut him down right now, and what is it, February? So that means he has 8 months. About 7 months to get right. You know, now you have him, Marco, doing through the season, working him out, you know, all that stuff. But come May, June, he doesn't have to come back to you. And when I mean you, like the athletic trainers, all that
stuff. He works on his own.
He doesn't have to come back to you on the off season to strengthen the core. He says, okay, I'm free. He go do whatever he wants to do. And doesn't report back to what? Probably like September. Mm-hmm. How likely do you think that he will probably go through and do all the rehab he needs to do, still go to the facility, still do the workout, or does he just go and says, I'll be back when and get his own help and treatment type?
Yeah, so that's a difficult part about it, especially now in the NBA over the last couple of years. Every player has a guy that they kind of tend to work with, type of thing. Can you force the athlete to stay in house and do the rehab there or do the strength conditioning? No, you can't, because in the offseason they can go do whatever they want, type of thing. So as the director of sports manager or the head athletic trainer, your job is to try to find out who they're working with and hopefully communicate with that person as much as you can, observe, see what they're doing, be able to provide some input. In most cases, you can. Most you know, people that they work with are pretty not supportive, cooperative to be able to do that. And if that's the case, that's great. But even then, unless you're there 24 hours and observing exactly what they're doing, it's very tough to try to see what they're doing. And when they do return, you're kind of like, all right, hopefully you did what you need to do. I'll give you a prime example, and I'm not going to call any athletes out. But back then, we had an athlete that needed a lot of work, lower extremity. I remember he went off to work with his own guy, and he came back the next year, and upper body, he was swole. Like, you could tell he had, you know, swole up.
He worked it.
He worked out. So when I was talking to him, I'm like, hey, so what did you do for your legs? Did you do? It's like, no, we didn't really do much legs. I'm like, ah.
Exactly. That's the problem.
So he did the model workout.
Yeah, so
I call it the bouncer.
Like, okay, there, yeah, okay. So he was more looking for his fashion.
Shoulders, the chest, the arms.
And that's what I was going, actually be like my next question, because who initiates that call, though? Like, let's say it's July. Hey, you know, Gunner, you know, how's so-and-so doing? Do you do that, or does Gunner call you?
So whoever the director of sports management for whatever team, that's their job to keep in communication with whoever they're working with. Now, does the other person have to answer the call and return to tell you exactly what they're doing? They don't have to, type of thing. Okay. But that's what I'm saying. You have to kind of play nice. I remember a couple when this first kind of started, I think it was about 15 years ago, where everybody started having their own guy. Even us with the Lakers, we had to kind of sit down and decide, okay, do we let them in and work with them, or say, you know what, you're not allowed to have your own guy. But then it got to the point, if we do that, we're either going to lose a player, and there was no, it was going to be a lose-lose for everybody.
One in Rome.
Exactly. So we had to kind of, you know, work with them. And at the end of the day, our goal is try to get the athlete healthy, whether they do it, whether we do it. Hopefully we can work together as a team with whoever they're working with and get the athlete as healthy as possible.
But have you ever had major conflict with a personal trainer for an athlete?
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Is that with training techniques, what to work out, or?
Correct. Either the philosophy that the person has, the techniques that they're trying to use, what they're working on. You know, we may say, hey, we need you to focus on this. They may say, no, the athlete doesn't need this. I'm focusing on this, type of thing. Like, say, prime example, the one I told you, I didn't mention the names, but our goal was for them, hey, they need to work on their lower extremity.
And they didn't.
He came back. Yeah, he came back nice, swole up top. But we're like, that's not your issue. The bottom is your issue.
So you can do more push-ups.
Yo, we still got chicken legs.
And then that makes it worse, right? Because it's
now they're top heavy.
Exactly.
Carrying more weight, and they're not even stronger down below to carry.
Exactly.
So and let me guess, they got hurt.
Okay. Don't make me. Don't make me think about it. Lamar Odom came a little heavy.
No, we're gonna look at some old tape.
Came small,
Candyman.
Robert.
We're gonna let Marco off the hook.
No, we're gonna.
He's a friend of the show.
But you know what? To piggyback what you were saying, Marco. Prime example of that would conflict between like the team athletic trainer and a person having their own is Tom Brady. And Tom Brady has had in the past had his own way of doing things that is not the same as when he was with the Patriots. It was something totally different, you know. And it was conflict because he wasn't doing, you can't really tell Tom Brady what to do, but it just the team would want Tom Brady to be working on something, and he's like, I already got my guy, so I'm gonna do what I'm doing, just be glad I'm here playing for you guys, and let me go ahead and do my thing. And I've heard of that more and more often, especially with the high profile type athletes, because they do have that, they put the extra money, like, you know, here LeBron spent $1 million on his body
a year,
you know, on his body and all this other stuff. So you know, so it's kind of hard. I guess your job got to be hard when here's what I need you to work on in the summer, And then you look back and the guy comes in and you're like, okay, if you would have worked out on what I asked you to, you would look totally different. So when you walk into the door, I already know, like, you're not listening to what I have to say. You know, that's how this high profile athletes, and of course, like high profile athletes have, you know, that kind of the high maintenance.
Well, they've been right. Babied and such since high school, maybe even some of them since junior high. So, you know, it's, and I get it too, because they're like, no, wait a minute. This got me here. Mm-hmm. You know, me going off of my instinct and intuition got me to the league. Right. And now you're telling me I need to do something different. And that's all hard. Right. But then they realize getting there and friggin' staying there are two different things.
Exactly. So let me ask you, you know, and I probably, you don't have to answer. You don't. But what would you do with a guy like Zion? Right? Like Zion, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, right. Came.
Good question.
And he decided that, Zion is a guy that you look at, and this is very mean, but he's a guy that you look at, like, if he didn't play basketball, he'd be fat. You know what I mean? Like, that's literally my thought about Zion Williams when he was, like, at, you know, in college. I'm like, when he was in Duke, I'm like, oh, yeah, he'd be fat if he stopped working out, didn't play basketball, that's how he would be.
Yeah.
And apparently, now he's fat, right?
Well, so, say heavy.
Or heavy.
Well, he's got a big bone. He's getting
husky.
He has a couple more inches on his waist. However you want to say. What? How do you react to a player that you know is not putting in that work? How frustrating is that? You know, when you look at it like this, it was just doesn't want to cooperate. And then and how do you respond? I know you can't go to your boss and be like, you're one of our star players on the team. Doesn't, you know, how do you handle situations like that if you can speak on it?
Correct. No, I mean, the first thing that pops in mind is maturity level, okay? One, the player has to be willing to be able to participate and understand. And that's one of the issues, especially in NBA and basketball, that you get these young kids coming out of college that they're not used to, one, lifting weights. They're not used to working out. They're used to, you know, just getting up on their skills.
Yeah.
But like you said,
ice in my veins. Skills
will get you to the league. But the hard work's going to keep you there. Which one?
Ice in my veins?
Yeah. like the saying says, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right. So to speak. So, yes, it's very frustrating to try to kind of get an athlete to kind of work and do what they need to do, but unless you sell them on it. And that's the other thing also, as an athlete trainer, director of sports medicine, you know, as they say, you got to know your personnel. Every athlete reacts differently. Every act, you got to just find out what makes them tick and then approach it that way and appeal to them type of thing. And hopefully something clicks in their head and they're willing to go ahead and put in the work.
It's crazy. Ooh. Man,
we talk about the most or the most of the show about the injuries. I'm thinking,
man, yeah, I know
it doesn't,
that's a great thing, but I'm just saying, like, we have so many issues in Lakerland that, damn, like,
yeah, that's the easy one. Like, that was
either. What about this rift?
You can't get anywhere.
But what about this rift between the front office and now Clutch Sports?
We haven't even
really talked about that, and how, like, I've noticed before, the Lakers was basically a tight-lipped, you know, organization, especially when it comes to, like, the Woj bomb. Anybody that's out there to know about the Woj bomb, Wojnarowski is always the one that's just dropping
always waiting.
Now Shams now is up there with him now, but, you know, Woj was that guy. Even when he was in Yahoo, he was that
even
guy.
Even Shams drops, you know, Woj bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
So, you know, even though Windhorst got him, Windhorst got Woj this year.
But Laker hater.
But now that the trade deadline came and gone, and the Lakers did not attach a first round pick and try to move Westbrook for John Wall, all of a sudden we started hearing now coming from, like, people like Dave McMiniman, the Clutch Sports is not happy with Rob Pelinka. And, of course, now we see that LeBron is on his media blitz talking about other GMs and how they were great. He's not really giving any props to his own GM, so it's definitely something there. But how do you guys feel about that? Because my personal opinion is, like, I just don't understand why this is always happening when I feel there's no accountability. I just don't believe there's accountability being had on Clutch Sports behalf. And that's where maybe I'm out of bounds on that, taking from my man money. But I really do believe that they have to have some kind of accountability on the state of affairs of what the Lakers are right now. And can't cry and throw your toys out the crib if you don't get what you want, because this is the bed you made. Mm-hmm. You got to line it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, though? I want to add like a little thing to it, because you just kind of, when you watch and see what's going on, you know, we know that, you know, LeBron was at the Super Bowl game, right, in a suite. And we also know who he was in that suite with, right? Magic was in that same suite as him, right? So, you know, and Magic was the one that got LeBron.
Chris Paul's now injured.
Oh, yeah. Chris Paul's injured. Yeah. Got six to 8 week, broke his thumb.
His right thumb, which changed a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But if you look at that, that to me is a very interesting caveat. Because remember, Magic was the one that was at the front, was sitting out, you know, in front of his house, and actually got LeBron to come here. And then Magic was the one that was like, you know what, I'm out. I'm out. I don't want to deal with this whole situation with Pelinka. And it was very clear what that was. And it seems like Magic and LeBron are still cool.
Right.
So, which means that you know that they've had conversations. And I just wonder, and this is all like speculation, but I just wonder if because of that, LeBron is LeBron lashing out because of a conversation he probably had with Magic, you know, because he.
So you're pulling Magic into this with absolutely no knowledge that he has anything to do with it.
He hanging with Magic, right? And all of a sudden, this dude is like, "Yo, see, Presti. I mean, he named names like that. He said he drafted Westbrook. He drafted Durant. He drafted Gibby. Whatever. I can't think of the other guy.
The Lakers draft has been amazing.
He's talking about he has an eye for talent. Like this, I mean, he's talking about a whole nother GM, you know, and all these types.
He did the same thing about Tyronn Lue. He said, as a coach, he has no weaknesses.
Right. So now,
right after they lost to the Clippers,
which means what? That he's literally throwing shade at the coach. He's throwing shade at the GM, but he's hanging out with Magic, you know that they're having conversations.
They're definitely having conversations.
And you know Magic is probably telling them, look, man, this is the reason why I left. And then now LeBron is kind of seeing that. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying that's my opinion about what's going on. Let me ask Clubhouse.
Let's go to Clubhouse really quick.
You guys have any thoughts on that?
Is anyone there going to say anything from Clubhouse?
Front office got riff between.
That's a conversation they would have been at. It wouldn't have taken to Super Bowl to have that conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they had a conversation before Super Bowl. What do you think?
They've been in constant contact.
That's been Magic's been going for what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, Magic's Magic. You say Magic been gone,
I think he did it this time.
He hasn't like been with the organization, but Magic has given out tweets and stuff.
Always there.
And, you know, about the Lakers. About
Jeannie just said on the record that she still is in contact with Magic and asks Magic's opinion about things.
Right.
You know, that's what that is. I mean, he's not that far. He's always a phone call away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If she needs to go ahead and run something by him, she's not going to be afraid to call Magic.
And she never got, well, this is my opinion. And then it didn't seem like she got mad. She was like disappointed that she didn't know, but it didn't really seem like she was really.
Oh, she's never going to come. That's her brother, dude. Yeah, that's literally her brother. If the way that Jerry Buss adopted pretty much Magic Johnson,
yep.
And pretty much essentially made him family. And so, yes, I mean, she's always going to have that close relationship with Magic. I'm just thinking about what's going on, and I would like to throw this to Clubhouse. Do we see a power play happening right now with Clutch? Like, they were putting the chess pieces on the board, and they were making moves before, and they were, it was all good when, you know, when they were the pseudo GMs and they were all getting all the accolades,
everything they wanted.
But now that things are going sideways and they're taking a little heat because of their influence and to give out the desired, you know, results, are we seeing now the full port press on the Laker organization to get the people that they want in you know, in those positions, like, you know, coach or also the GM? So I would like to ask that to, like, Clubhouse. Do we see a power play that's actually in play with them, if anybody's available?
Anybody bring a mic if you have a comment?
Do we see a
this is what LeBron does when he comes to every franchise?
He does.
Yeah, I agree.
He takes all the resources, and then when it doesn't get, when it's not good anymore, he ups and leaves. Yeah. I'm a real Laker fan. I wasn't for LeBron coming because I knew this was going to happen. Every team he goes to, there's a motive. We had all these young players up and coming. They knew Anthony Davis was going to be up and coming free agent. LeBron was playing good with these young players. The minute he get injured, we go on the losing streak, trade all these young guys.
Yeah, look, I agree. I was the one that was saying.
I was saying, is that money in the clubhouse? No. So just like, you know. Hey,
right. Look. That means that, you know, I'm not the only one, right?
I wasn't a huge fan either, because I didn't want to go on the whole retirement, the Kobe retirement thing again at the end of LeBron's career. I was like, I didn't want to go down that hole, because if he's here, he's coming at the end. I'd rather.
Well, he ain't coming at the end now.
Yeah. Someone else is going to get him at the end.
Well, maybe, hey, this dude, if he goes and decides that he doesn't want to perform so we can have the number one pick, you talk about me being pissed, you know, but I regress. You know, when LeBron got hurt that year and we had Lonzo, we were playing 500 basketball, if y'all remember.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't, until Lonzo got hurt,
right,
is when we went down to the toilet.
Exactly.
And I kept on pointing that out. I said, look, we were still good, and we were maintaining. I'm not saying we didn't need LeBron, but I'm saying we literally was maintaining and playing 500 ball so LeBron could come up, so that way we could go move forward. And to me, that showed the value of Lonzo, because I felt like Lonzo wasn't at his peak at that moment. I kept on saying Lonzo's like Chris Paul. You know, when Chris Paul came in the first 2-3 years, he was regular. Then all of a sudden, Chris Paul became MVP candidate, you know, about 4 or 5, 6 years in the league. And I felt like Lonzo could be that same way, you know. So I definitely don't think that. And you guys remember, I said, look, let's wait a whole nother year.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. And, that the guy sounded just like you.
And get AD in free agency.
Or in the free agency. Yeah. And in retrospect, obviously, I would look and see that you're right about that comment. At the same time, I want to also put this in perspective. Like, the Lakers were the 2020 NBA champions. So I don't want just to lose sight of the fact that we did. There's a lot of franchises that will mortgage their future to get one championship. And so, of course, we get ours in bunches, and I know we're spoiled like that. However, we did get a championship.
What does it say on that top of that shoe right there?
3 in a row.
Thank you.
So, I mean, but Shaq and Kobe ain't walking through that door.
That is true. All right, everybody. So,
I'm not rocking with that.
You're out. All right. So, everybody, thank you for joining us. If you watch the show always, you know that we close the Profanity Nation show with a segment we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds. Money Mike is going to go ahead and share his thoughts or opinion on a topic, and he just wants to know, is his thoughts in bounds or out of bounds? Money Mike, you got the mic.
All right, y'all. First of all, I think I'm going to be 100% on this, okay? 100%. So look, I told y'all earlier that I watched 5 hours of my life in the most boringest all-star game, all-star weekend, Saturday night. It was horrible. And I literally was only doing it because of tradition. And I kept in my mind thinking, like, well, damn, do I want to just get rid of this? The quick answer is yes. But then you know they're not going to get rid of it. So I'm like, well, how are they going to make it better? Here's the thought that I had. Am I out of bounds to have the fans vote who they want to be in a three-point contest and who they want to be in a slam dunk contest. Because what I think the biggest problem is, we're getting these people I never heard of that's on the bottom of the roster going out there and doing this stuff that we don't even care about the people because we're not even invested in the player. So I say one of two things: either get rid of the Saturday night because it ain't even worth it, mm-hmm. or better yet, allow the fans to vote the people they would like to see in the slam dunk contest and the 3-point contest. Am I out of bounds for changing the rule to that? So that way it'll be somebody that's vested into it.
We'll let Stat Pat answer that. Everybody at Clubhouse, start shaking your mics. If you got something to say, Stat Pat, go ahead.
Real quick, I think you're in bounds for that. You're not out of bounds. But what I do see, the only issue with that is that people are always about their branding. And they don't want to get embarrassed. They don't want to take any L's. So if you're out there and you are in a slam dunk contest, you're going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. Some people don't want to take that L. So you're not going to get the mm-hmm. best players That's out the there. Problem. Same thing with a 3-point contest. You were talking about it earlier. Like 3-point contest used to be the Hall Star. Anybody that could shoot, anybody was, it would be there. You're the top 10 in the 3-point percentage, you were there. You were going to be there. Mark Price will be there. You know, you will have, you know, a Bird will be there. You know, have Hodges there. You know, all these great shooters.
Later,
you know, like Elo, all these great shooters are going to be there because they want to prove
Ray Allen
that they are the best. At this point, Steph don't have anything to prove, so he's not going to go back there anymore. So it's going to be hard to go ahead and have the fans vote on it, and then have those players be like, "Okay, we're going to be on it." Is that just so? Yeah,
yeah. But I think it will put pressure on them to do it.
Though. Okay, well,
all right, Clubhouse, go ahead, Big Head.
I hate to say it, but I think LeBron James won the dunk contest. Like 3-point contest, all the top tier 3-point shooters eventually compete. Before LeBron James, all the superstar guards are. Like two guards, small forward, competed. He was the first one, and I'm seeing a snowball effect. I'm seeing a snowball effect after that.
Hey man, y'all like your style. It's LeBron's fault. Man. I love it. Man.
Hey, send him a shirt.
Yeah. I'm about to see you a shirt.
Yeah,
man.
Be sure to give us your information. Money Mike's gonna send you a shirt.
DM us, Profane Nation followers. I will see you a shirt, man. You're just as good as me, man.
Boy, he's a man of no heart, man. Listen,
I literally have. If I can't make a show, I'm gonna call you up in my place, man. I know.
I know
my opinion is gonna be said.
Mini Mike and Money Mike.
Much love to you, brother.
Anybody else plaque on their mic on there?
Ivan, you got to, oh, no, hey, you know what? Drea. I know you got something.
Drea's there.
Oh, Drea?
Jay is sleeping.
All right, Crispy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike. I think you totally, man. I feel like they just made the fans more a part of it. It's funny that you even mentioned that because yesterday during the event, it was so boring, man. I'm like, they got to spice it up some kind of way. And I had came with the conclusion that, you know, maybe they should have the fans vote on the dunk contest instead of having the same judges up there every year. I feel like they should get some dedicated fans from each, you know, for some particular organizations from around the league and sit them up on the panel to judge to get the dunk contest to spice it up a little bit, you know.
Let me ask you something. What if they were to change it a little bit where they make the requirement, if you're going to play in the All-Star game, you got to participate at least in one event on Saturday.
Oh,
I like that.
That'd be dope too.
If voted in
by the fans, you have to participate.
I like that. Well, first of all,
you choose what you want.
One.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, that skills challenge, I don't know what they're going to do with that skills challenge. The roots, the Cleveland.
I liked Horace that they brought up for a little bit.
But that whole skill, I mean, that was like such a waste of time. It's such a waste of space. It was just horrible. Like there was no creativity on the dunks. It was no athleticism on the dunks.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, see now what it is now, like you said, the players that are signing up actually just want to get known. They just want their name out there. So they just want to get on that roster. They just want to get on the list so they can say they're in the dunk contest and compete.
It's so different.
I think you're right. And I think something along those lines, but you know, I mean, the All-Star game for years was a joke. The scores, nobody cared who won or lost. Then they started adding some money for charity. And now, at least towards the end of each quarter, you get some competition. Maybe they need to you're right. They don't want to take that L. But maybe if the W is so effing great,
right,
that that's worth it. I mean, how could a LeBron not participate if it's a $1 million prize for the dunk contest?
But
you know, and I'll tell you what, you know, these bottom roster guys, it's going to be hard for them to get in there if a player can possibly make $1 million. Maybe second place is 750 and third's 500, so it's not less. Who knows? But you start putting something like that together for charity or something, that's what they did for the All-Star game, and it seems to have worked.
No, but see, the biggest thing they did for the All-Star is that they actually – pick their teams.
That helped too.
And that helps a lot too, because now this dude literally created his roster, you know, on people that he like wanted to play with, his friends, all the other stuff. And I look.
So how about the top 3-point shooting percentage guy in the league is to pick the 3-point shooters.
Right. And I love
that he plays against.
I mean, I think it was horrible, but funny as hell, the shade that James Harden got, you know, from Durant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was real. You know, of course you had the poking the fun, you know, with Barkley, because he was calling it out. You know, all that stuff, it makes it fun, you know, yeah, and man. It puts another fire on Harden, right? Like to want to go and give it to him, because, mm-hmm. you know, those little small things makes him more like competitive and things like that. But yeah, man, like we got to do something to get rid of it. Anybody else from Clubhouse have a comment?
Last comments of the night.
I think for the dunk contest, what could save it is getting these outside dunkers. That's not a part of the NBA. Get like these professional dunkers. You be seeing like these street ball dunkers that you see that do amazing dunks, and incorporate them. I don't know, have them like team up with a NBA player or you know, I don't know, but I don't think that might be cool actually.
Yeah, that might be cool, because they usually they'll use a prop or a second person anyway. So what if you actually did that and team up players and they have to compete together as a team for a dunk contest?
Yeah, I think that. What was
you've that? You've got 1 minute. We're closing the show. Okay,
there was that 1 year where it was like a street dunker, and he dunked on the day of the game. And all the NBA players were like, oh, I forgot that dude's name. But yeah, that actually I think would be dope too, because look, we already done seen you jump over somebody. We already done seen you. And then what is that? Oh, that's not an attempt because they didn't touch the rim. Like what are we doing? Look, once we already know what you're gonna do, you got one more chance.
That's the worst. Watch him go again and again, because the surprise is gone. Okay. You
know, and another dude, he was trying to do the Vince Carter dunk, but put this hole. He didn't even get up that high.
Dude, like, no, man. Just don't try it if you can't do it.
Just lay it up.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Marco, we've been waiting so long to get you to the studio. Right? Thank you so much. This was awesome. We'll be doing this more often. To everybody watching, thank you so much for joining the Profanity Nation podcast. Again, we are live every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. Yes, you can catch us on Instagram and Facebook. And, of course, our podcast audio comes out every Tuesday. And that you can catch everywhere on any podcast platform, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're there. If you love the show, be sure to download us. Be sure to go ahead and subscribe, and then leave a review, because we love those, and we're working on a 5-star review on Apple, and we'd love to keep that.
Right.
But be honest. We want to hear honest. We're not afraid to take that. Marco, will you do us a favor? Everybody likes to keep up to date with what you got going on, because you give us so much good information. Will you let everyone know how to do that?
Yeah, you guys are welcome to follow me on Instagram at Marco A. Nunez 17, or subscribe to my YouTube channel at Evolve Athletic Performance.
All right.
Awesome. Yes, sir.
On behalf of my boy Money Mike, Stat Pat, Marco Nunez, I'm Simsta. Thank you, guys. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week. Have a good one.
Peace.
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 Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster. He putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation. We running the town. Yeah.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.